We're in Ephesians, so let's pray, and then we'll jump into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, okay? Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you. That was fun doing Koinonia and just kind of watching everybody connect with each other. I love that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this whole concept of the body of Christ. And now we're going to look at it a little more closely in Ephesians 3. And I pray you just guide us through this and bring to mind those things that have to be looked at and help us to understand it, apply it to our lives, and grow in Christ. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3 is a very short chapter. You know, what is it? 22 verses or something like that. And to read it, it goes very fast. And most of Ephesians is a fast book anyway. But holy moly, I've heard of pastors taking weeks and weeks on just Ephesians 2. Okay, so it was me. And there's so much in there, isn't there? You, every verse is so full. Now, Ephesians 3 starts off this way. For this very reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery circle made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. My insight into the mystery of Christ. I circle that. So I've got mystery circled, and the fact that God gave him that revelation, and then he talks about mystery again, which was not made known to me in was not made known to men in other generations, but it's being made known now. Something's cool is going on here, and we're going to come back to all this. Other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Holy Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets, this mystery, there it is again, mysterion, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. That's the mystery. That's shocking. And so he just jumps right in there. Now, there's really more here going on. I mean, there's a lot more to read. But there's more here going on than you might suspect. We just went through a couple things where if you took the time to read this on your own, you'd be going, wait, you took off. There was a lot. Wait, back up. Let me say this. Look at the very first, what is it, three words? What comes to mind? What is it? For this reason. What does that make you think?
There's something in front of that.
Yeah. What? For this reason. For what reason? What are you talking about here? He's already on something. For this reason. Well, what? Well, let's back up. Well, what does he say? 21. Let's go back. To verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Hold on. God wants a dwelling. God wants a home. God wants a place to call his. And he's building it. And he's excited about it. Where is that building? What is that building? What are we talking about? We just got done going over this. But I have to ask the question again because it may not have stuck. What is the building? It's us. This is it. So God's incredible mystery, his incredible divine holy plan from all of eternity is this. We're it. You got to let that sink in for a second. We are the holy purpose of God. That's it. That's what he had in mind. All of this, this mighty battle, this stuff that's been going on since Adam and Eve and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Esau and all of those guys, all of that has been heading to this one thing. And here it is. And it wasn't, you know, a mystery in Scripture is not something, well, it's just a mystery. I don't know what it means. That's not what mystery means. Mystery means something exciting that God has, and He's going to let you know in a minute. He's going to, oh, look, it's, and all of heaven is like, and they want to see, you know, angels and principalities. They're like, what's he doing? What's God all about? And they're looking. That's what it says. All of the universe is looking to see this mystery. So he just mentioned mystery four times. He mentions a revelation. He's saying for this very purpose, and then he leaves. For this very purpose, by the way, I'm Paul, and God gave me some insight, and wait, what happened, Paul? What, for this very purpose, what? You're not going to see him connect that till verse 14. In verse 14, he picks it up again, for this very purpose. So we're taking a pause, a gap. This guy is so distractible. He'll be on one subject and then suddenly on the next subject, quite like Mike. Popping around. But I always come back to it. I always get her done. That's what he's doing. And you see that happening, verse 1, for this very reason. Then he goes off somewhere and he comes back to it after 14. But why did he do that? What's he doing in all those other 13 verses? Where did he go? Paul, come back. What are you doing? Where'd you go? What's this all about? Well, it's quite wonderful. He's going to tell you what this purpose is. But first, he's going to tell you how he got to this place, how we came here. This is really exciting. You got to understand, people, we are the workmanship of God. We were made in Christ Jesus, and he's got stuff for us to do, fun stuff, not stuff you have to do so you can be holy. No, that's not what he's talking about. You are holy. He grabbed you, made you holy, and said, and we're going to do stuff together. You dads remember that when you grab your kid and you say, hey, come on, let's go. We're going to do this together. That's so much more fun than get out there and do this. It's we're going to do this together. Isn't it fun to be with your dad and be doing something together? Or to have maybe you're a sports person and you really want to be good at basketball or something, and your coach says, come on, let's go shoot around together. I'm going to give you some pointers together. That's so much more fun, and that's us. God in our midst saying, hey, let's do this together. This is going to be fun. I could have done it alone, but I don't want to do that. I want to do it with you. That's so much more fun. And so this thing that God wants to do, this purpose, he's going to do with you. And how do we know that? Well, because of verse 1 through 13, he's tuning us up. He's getting us ready in that. So as he goes into this, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. What are you talking about? What? Now, Paul's a Jew, and there's a lot of Jews around. Now, this is Ephesus, so we're in a whole different city. It's not ruled by Jews, and synagogues don't own the day. The giant temple of Diana rules the day. The oppressive, difficult cult of women. Can you believe it? That's the cult there. Exalting women, Amazon women were the beginning of the planting of Ephesus anyway. And so it's a woman cult, quite like America's becoming. I mean, things are changing. Men aren't men as they used to be when I was growing up. And women's lib became a big, big deal. And now women are going, maybe we could dial back on a little bit. I kind of liked sort of having a partner. I kind of liked... what do they call that? Chivalry. You know, what happened to all the... I opened a door for a lady the other day. You know, I like to do that. You know, I'm going in, open the door. I was yelled at, you know. Hey, open your own door, you know. But I think that's a sign of, you know, when you do that, it's just a sign of respect. A sign of, respect is a good word for that. Why can't you do that? You got to be careful. But it's coming back. It's coming back. I think the tide is turning. America is becoming a little bit more relaxed. But that's what he's talking about here is in the midst of Ephesus, where it's a woman cult, everything is. He tells women, be quiet in church. Because they're used to women standing on the street corners and ruling everything and doing this and that. And they were all priestesses of Diana or priestesses of Artemis. That's who her other name. And so there's this giant temple. Remember I showed slides of that a long time ago? Giant, incredible temple of these goddesses. Really, it was a giant whorehouse. I mean, That's what it was. And they were doing this stuff in the name of the gods. So the men were all going, I got to go worship. I'll be back. You know, yeah, right. And it was A-okay. That was the culture. So remember, it's a perverted, twisted, demonic culture, demonic to the core. And he's training them to not be that way. He's teaching them their true identity. And it's so fun what he's doing. So he says, for this very, there's my Bible, but I put it over here so I could have some notes on it. Surely you have heard about, so he got off of for this reason, not on that right now. Surely you have heard about the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. That's what he's saying. As okay, this mystery. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into this mystery of Christ. You'll get it. This is, I didn't make this stuff up. This, God gave this to me, and it's awesome. Remember, Paul got saved in a very unique way, right? He wasn't one of the main apostles. He didn't hang out with Jesus. He didn't see all that. He comes along 30 years later after Jesus ascended. 30 years later. So Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, you remember? And he held the coats while they stoned Stephen. That was Paul. They're stoning Stephen. Why? Because he's praising Jesus. And he holds the coats, and then he tells them, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was schooled at the school of Gamaliel, the top Pharisee school in the whole world. And he's got every accolade, and he by birth is a massive holy man. And but what is holy? Yeah, set apart. What is holy? It isn't that you went to the school of Gamaliel, or it isn't that you're a Pharisee. You're holy. God, somebody was arguing with me about what is holy. And right in the middle of the argument, and I love to do this, right in the middle of the argument, I go, oh, can you hand me that pepper? It's on the table, you know. Can you hand me that pepper? He goes, oh, sure. And I said, you just made that holy. He didn't realize that in the midst of the conversation, I was making something holy. And what do you mean? You set it apart for me. That's holy. You're set apart for Jesus. That's what holy is. It doesn't mean you're good, you're perfect, you never sin, you don't have bad thoughts, you don't have a bad temper. That's not what holy means. No. You are holy. What does that mean? Set apart for God's use. Does that make sense? That's who we are. That's who you are. You know, I don't feel holy. Well, it doesn't matter. It's not a question of how you feel. It's a question of what is true. And you are holy and set apart for God's purpose. And he is filled you with all kinds of goodies that he wants to use through you. He wants to touch the world. He wants to change people's lives through you. Why? Because you're holy. You're set apart for him. So you're no longer, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're no longer what you were. So when you came to Christ, behold, all things became new. Old things have passed away. You are now kainos, new in Christ, new purpose, new. You have authority. You have protection. You have power. You have insight. You have stuff that human beings don't have. It's not human. It's divine. Like 2 Peter says, that you're now a partaker in his divine nature. Oh, you got to let that sink in. You're a partaker of his divine nature. So that means you're not just human anymore. You're human and divine. What is Jesus? Human and divine. That's why he's the first fruits and we're the followers. We're human and divine. And people, well, you know, I'm only human. I'm like, well, then you're not a Christian. That's too bad. Because as a Christian, I am divine and human. Now, I'm not running around saying I'm a God. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we definitely have God in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his nature. Our DNA has been changed, and we have God DNA now. We should come up with an acronym for that, DNA. Because that's what's happened to us. So now, as that's the mystery, and a mystery, a mysterion in Scripture is something intended to be revealed. He's walking around with this mystery, and this battle's going on, and everything's going on. He's sitting there kind of smiling every now and then, like, what are you laughing about? Goes, I'll tell you. What's going on? I got a mystery. And they go, oh, mystery. That means he's going to show us. Mystery doesn't mean it stays a mystery. Mystery means it'll be revealed. That's what it means. And can you imagine that? I remember this old joke of this guy. You know, we used to tell Polack jokes, we used to tell Italian jokes or whatever. This guy's whatever, a moron, let's say. And they take this guy, he gets caught on the street, and these crooks, they drag him out of his car and they draw a circle on the ground and they say, "You stand there and don't you step out." And they go and they just start smashing his car. And they look back and he's smiling. And they go, "Yeah," and they pop his tires and they smash his car. They're just being brutal. And he's standing there and he's smiling. And they go, "What is the deal? What is going on here? We're destroying your car. We're, you know," he said, "Three times I stepped out of the circle." They're like, "What?" So he's got this little joke and they can't tell why he's not freaking out. And that's kind of like God. All this is going on and he's there. "Well, why are you laughing?" "Because I know how it ends." Everything they're doing is actually promoting my agenda. Everything they're doing is actually promoting my cause. And I've got this little mystery on that I can't wait to reveal. You guys are going to crack up when you see it. Three times I stepped out of the circle. Three times I transformed. Three times I came into your world. I transformed. I've got a plan. And that's where we're at. And the mysterion has been revealed. And now we're all smiling. We're like, "This is real. We've been transformed." And now we're made in the image of Christ. We have a new nature. And we don't have a sin nature. We did have a sin nature. But we were saved by grace through faith. Even that's a gift of God. It's not by works. Nobody can boast about that. But he has reached out, made us holy, right? Pulled us apart, made us his. Installed in us this new software that's incredible, and now we have the DNA of Jesus Christ living in us. Don't you think that you're all alone in this dark universe and just pray until God returns? No, get busy, occupy. You got stuff to do. And I keep looking at my watch going, "Oh, he's coming back soon. I got so much I want to do for him. I got so many people I want to share Christ with." I had an opportunity yesterday. We were at a thrift store in Cottage Grove. Cottage Grove, that's a cute little town. Have you guys been there? It's cute, it's worth driving through. We went there, took our daughter to a football game, you know, so the kids wanted to watch football. I didn't want to sit on some frozen pews, church guy. Some frozen bleachers with my rear, you know, freezing. Betsy wasn't into that. I wasn't into it. So let's just drive through town. So we drove through town. Cute town, all that. Then we found this. What was that place? A thrift store. Babe, what was the name of that thrift store? St. Vincent. Oh, St. Vincent's. You guys got to go to that. It is so well organized. It's so clean. It's so pretty. And it's like no thrift store I've ever been. And the prices are phenomenal. And the quality of the stuff. It's like they threw away all the junky stuff and they kept the good stuff. Like no place I've ever been before. Anyway, so we're there and Betsy's shopping for whatever she's shopping for, and I'm just kind of going through, and I went over to the book section, and they've got the best book section I've ever seen. It's all well organized, it's categorized, and there's some guy there, you know, and he's just looking at books, and he's an older guy, and so I start looking at books, and we're both kind of in the same area, religion, you know. So I wonder what's out there. And I said, "You looking for anything special, you know?" He goes, "Nah, I just like to come in here now and then, see what they got, you know." And I said, "What are you into?" He goes, "Well," and he said some book, some Ramaswamy thing. I'm like, isn't that one of the guys that ran for office? What was that guy's name? It was Ramaswamy. So anyway, it's some Swami stuff, you know. And I don't even know that book. He goes, "Oh," he said, "you should know this. These writings have been around since thousands of years before Jesus. And that's where Jesus got his ideas. That's where he came up with his writings. You know, the Bible's completely based on the Ramaswamy." I'm like, "You think so?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm positive." I said, "How do you know?" He goes, "Well, because I've read them." I'm like, "And that's it? I mean, so how do you know they're divine or they're inspired?" He goes, "Because when I was doing mushrooms." And I'm like, okay. Right there, I got a red flag, okay? And and he said, "And then on LSD, these things kept coming back to me." And I said, "You know, that's kind of how Satan talks. You know, when you're all hyped up and whatever, and he whispers these voices, we got to learn to have discernment. I'm not saying that was Satan. I'm just saying Satan can masquerade like an angel of light, right? And he can counterfeit anything. So we got to talking, and he's telling me all about these writings. And I'm like, well, who's behind them? What is it? Who? He goes, oh, it's just ancient wisdom from, yeah, but who? I mean, who's behind it? Who's the... Oh, it's just the ancient fathers. And I'm like, yeah, I can't follow that. And so is there more than one of these? I mean, where do they come from? He goes, well, if you ever been to the pyramids, because, you know, it's kind of chiseled into the pyramids, and it's chiseled into some places down in Peru. I'm like, so little phrases or the whole thing? He goes, well, various parts. And so you just string these things together, and now you've got your belief system. I said, none of that makes sense to me. Now, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. One of the most reliable manuscripts you can possibly have is Caesar's Gallic Wars. Everyone knows, you know, that's it. You want to understand some great writings from antiquity, Caesar's Gallic Wars. And there's like 6 copies of that out there. I mean, real copies of Caesar's Gallic Wars. And they're 900 years from the events that are recorded, but that's the best we have. And that's pretty intact. I mean, that's... And we know who wrote it, and we know what the purpose was, and we know that. So that's pretty authoritative. He goes, yeah, that sounds like it. I said, but there's this other one out there called, like, the New Testament. And we have 43,000 copies of that. What? I said, yeah, 43,000 manuscripts, and they're all within 60 years of the events. Some of them less. I mean, that's pretty darn, that's not 900 years, and that's not 6 copies. I think I'd be taking a look at that. I mean, that sounds pretty authoritative. He goes, is that really true? I said, yeah, the Bible's not just any old book. And if you read it, there's all these prophecies in the Old Testament that were all fulfilled. I mean, to the day, to the minute, to the name. They'll say cities and rulers' names, and even talk about coinage. They'll talk about stuff like that. 1,500 years before the event, and there it is. To me, that says you ought to take a look. This other stuff, interesting, but no authority. There's nothing to base it on. And so and we're standing in this bookshelf aisle talking, and he's warming up to me, and I'm trying. Here's my goal. Don't piss the guy off. You know, stay fun. Stay conversational and don't sound authoritative, you know? That's what I do. I ask questions. I'm trying not to make the guy mad. And he never got mad. It was really fun. And his name is Keith, if you want to pray for Keith. And we had a really wonderful talk. And then he goes, oh, so I, he said, I'll bet you're a Trump supporter. And I said, I don't care. I just want God's will to be done. You know, I don't care one way or the other. But I was wearing a red hat. And the red hat says America. I just have this hat. I've had it for, you know, 8 or 10 years. It's not a, you know, that kind of a hat. But he saw it as a Trump hat. I didn't know that. The minute he saw me, he thought I was a Trump guy. So this whole time I'm talking to him, he's thinking, Trump guy, Trump guy. I'm like, I'm not a Trump guy. I'm a whatever guy. You know, I just want truth. That's what I want. So we get to talking, and he starts railing on, you know what's going to happen now, the economy and this and that. I said, I don't know if that's true. You know, I was listening to Milton Friedman yesterday. Milton Friedman kind of knows what's going on. I was listening to the Oracle of Omaha, and he was telling me what's happening. And I don't know that your prediction is very accurate, but we'll have to see, because I don't know. We're hoping for the best. I'm hoping America takes a turn. I'm hoping the country gets back to the basics and gets back to loving each other and not fighting and all that. And he says, well, we've talked now for a half an hour and we're not fighting. And I said, isn't that great? I said, I really like you. You're a fun guy. He goes, I like you too. And he looks on the, and he says, I think you should read this. And he pulls out the writings of Mao Zedong. No, the Dalai Lama. We were looking at Mao Zedong. So I bought it. I thought, I'm going to read it. He thinks there's something there. I got his phone number. We're going to start talking. But anyway, I say all of that to say that whole time I'm going, I'm set apart. I'm holy. I'm the truth. I'm Jesus Christ. Something's going on here. God's doing something. And I'm praying for this guy the whole time. Oh, God, give me the right things to say. Give me a tasty little, you know, morsel that'll bring him into the conversation. And the whole time I'm thinking, God is in this. He never got mad. which is amazing. And he never shut down, which is amazing. He gave me his phone number. I did not expect that. And I got to take a picture of him so I can remember what he looks like. He's 78. He's 78. He didn't look that old. I mean, I know. I was. I thought I should get him a chair. Those guys in their 70s, you know, you never know what's going to happen, right?
Thank you.
Oh, you're way beyond that. Don't worry. But this guy, Wayne, or Keith, was awesome. That I just got done studying Ephesians. I know that I am the dwelling place of God. I know that I get to share the word of Christ. I know that it's not going to be an argument between me and him. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there going back through what I'm learning and going, I'm going to apply this right now. And then Betsy says, we got to go. The kids are done with the game. I'm like, how could that be? We were only here for a minute. And so we had to go. But she said, who was that guy? And I just said, he didn't get mad at me. And I was sharing some hardcore stuff. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that happened because I tend to be a little bit polarizing, if you will. And now I bring up all that to say, I am the dwelling place of God. We are the dwelling place of God. We have a purpose. He has a plan. We get to walk that out. I meet some guy at a bookstore and go, okay, I don't think I'm here to buy some Levi's. I think I'm here to talk to this guy. And so I'm going to see how far this can go. That's living in the moment. That's living with conscious awareness that I am literally the body of Christ. And I'm going to go as far as I can. And I'm praying the whole time. You know how that is. You're just like, oh, God, oh, what am I doing? And give me, and I couldn't think of some smart things to say when he was talking about all this philosophy. But God gave me some smart things to say, some stuff that were tasty to him, stuff that was on his level, you know, because I've studied philosophy and I've studied comparative religions. I know a little bit, but I was enough to keep that guy engaged. That's who we are. It may not be that you're talking philosophy and religion to some guy in a bookstore. It may be that you're talking about changing a tire or helping somebody with their laundry or going out to lunch. It doesn't matter, but you have to realize that I am not just human. I'm not. I'm much more than that, and I've got something to offer, and God wants to do it through me. And that makes every day remarkable. Why? Because you're holy. Because you're set apart. Because God is in you. And that's who you are. Body, that's who you are. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple. Remember I said he was looking for a dwelling place for this very reason, the dwelling place. And then he's going to tell how he got all this wisdom. And then he's going to say, and now, in verse 14, now, for this reason, here's who you are. So he starts off by saying what God wants. Then he talks about how God called him. And then he talks about how God called you. And then he talks about how you are the very purpose of God. And I was studying this whole week. I've been studying and reading on this and going, I don't know what to say. This is so rich. It's so pregnant with meaning and depth. But one thing I can say, and this is what I want to leave you with, is you are the temple of God. You are. And he's building you brick by brick every day. But you're holy, you're set apart, you have meaning, you have a divine nature, and he's going to use you. Even if you're at home working all by yourself, and it's just you and God, that's a holy moment. You can get into that. You can just be consciously aware of your identity. Realize who you are, and then everything gets fun. If you're not having fun, you need to stop. You forgot who you are. If you're griping and complaining, if you're getting all bristly and weird, just stop. It doesn't cost you anything to stop. It doesn't cost you anything to step back, take a breather. And I am the king of getting all, you know, wigged out. I'm doing a project. You know, I'm the type of guy that doesn't stop until it's done. And that's sad because sometimes I go too far and I get mad and I get frustrated until I start remembering who I am. And this stuff doesn't really matter. And God will get it done when he wants to get it done. He's just on time. I'm never late. That's who you are. So if you're engaging with people at a bookstore or you're just alone doing that project in your house and there's only you living in that house, it's still a holy moment. It's still a holy place. And you're still very, very divine. And in that place, when you're lonely, your kids are gone, you don't have anybody around, your friends are gone, that's still a holy place. Every place you put your foot is holy ground. And you can connect with God in a profound and life-changing way right there all alone in your little apartment. That's God. That's why it's a joy. And that's why I'm not counting the days till he returns. I hope he returns. I'm looking forward to that. But between now and then, it's just glory. Between now and then, it's fun. And even if I my day is full of projects and I got to get them done, and that drives me crazy because I want to be in the Word and I want to be meeting with people and all that, it's okay. God is at work. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for us. And the us is a much bigger plan than the you, because we are the body of Christ. You're not the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you are not the body of Christ. Do you understand that? We are the body of Christ. That's glorious. That's why I can say, now go play. Because as you go out from what you got here, you should be jacked. You should be pumped up. You should be ready. So don't let life beat you down. Don't let responsibilities, you know, clog you up. Be still. Know that he is God and you are not. And find rest in him. And when you're at rest, he gets to do these wonderful things. When you're at rest, he makes you run into some guy at a bookstore. So I thought that was fun last night. That was a great way for me to spend my evening instead of going to a football game. I got to share Christ with some guy, and maybe he's going to look some of the books up that I recommended to him. So anyway, you're holy. I thought we were going to get through Ephesians in one teaching. It's not going to happen. Ephesians 3. I want to get to that place where he says his purpose was. We'll get into that next week. It'll be really fun. Today is Betsy's birthday, and we're going to take Betsy on a secret trip to do a secret thing for her birthday, and she doesn't know anything. So as soon as this is over, we got to skedaddle. But it's exciting, and it's a special birthday for Betsy. She's turning 29. And it's very exciting. So with that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we get to play in your kingdom. We get to rejoice in everything that comes our way. That we are masters of the universe through Jesus Christ. We're divine. We are holy, set apart for your purposes. And we have good works to do that you already pre-programmed for us to do. I'm looking forward every day to the good work you have for me. Each of those days. And so I thank you for this body. I've never experienced such joy, such freedom, such real presence of Jesus. And I thank you for the way and what you're doing in us and through us. Help us to continue to stay focused and remember who we are and walk in the joy of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go play. Amen.